Hi, I'm Bess Godin, and welcome to Millennial Splaining. So, I bet you're wondering, who is this bitch? Who died and made her the ultimate authority to speak for her entire generation? Well, the answer is, I'm nobody. I have no authority whatsoever. Like so many millennials, I was told to get an education. Then, I graduated into a barren and opportunity-less economy. We are the most overeducated and underemployed. The greatest minds of my generation go unheard. They are too busy serving coffee, flipping burgers, moving boxes, babysitting, and pumping gas to survive. All the while applying to better jobs that they are also overqualified for, but for which they know they'll never get an interview. And finally, at the end of a long day, we have time not to relax, but to work on our blogs and YouTube channels so we can have some modicum of expression in a world where we are told daily that we are disposable. And with each of these desperate efforts to grab hold of the national microphone, we find ourselves slipping further and further away from it because the world doesn't want to hear our problems. By corporate reinforced choice, we are a generation lost in obscurity. But even more importantly, hop on over to millensplain.com, where you can find my YouTube channel, my articles, and also other ways to support me. Please, 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 please consider donating to my Patreon, or donating to my Venmo, or buying some of my products on Redbubble, because I'm just poor, and I really don't want my landlord to show me the door. Thanks so much! Now enough of this bullshit. Let's get on to the episode. Welcome, Chris Smalls. Thank you so much for joining me on my podcast, Millennial Splaining. I'm so honored to have you. And I would love to hear about how the struggle has been going so far. I mean, I know that it's been a long road for you. And I know that last year you were a lot more in the media, I think, maybe than this year. And I would like to find out sort of, you know, what's been going on with the union effort since Bessemer, and what's, you know, what your take on, you know, exactly like how public has, you know, public support has maybe either waned or, you know, fluctuated throughout this process.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Since Bessemer, Alabama, we began our own efforts up here in Staten Island, New York, at the same facility where I used to work at, and I was fired last year. Mm-hmm. And it's been going pretty good. You know, the workers here decided to form their own independent worker-led union, opposed to partnering with an established union. And for the most part, I've been on the ground for the last month, outside the facility, getting cards signed for the union, standing in solidarity. And it's been working in our favor, you know, even though Amazon is continuing to do their normal union busting tactics. We have a different type of strategy here. We have a lot of employees that have been working for the company for years, like myself. And I think with our experience and our influence, we'll be at an advantage if we do get to that point when we have an election. And as far as the public's been real supportive. You know, we have visitors pretty much every week now. Seem like every other day somebody's coming out to the tent, whether they're coming to interview us or to help, you know, volunteer. We welcome all the visitors, and we you know, we could take all the support that we can get. It's going to take everybody to take down Amazon.
Absolutely. And I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to imply that, you know, things were unpopular or something like that. That sounded weird. What I meant to say was, I felt like when, you know, you first had, you started protesting about the COVID non-response from Amazon, and right around the time that you got fired, you got a lot of press from major corporate media at that point. And I felt like the Bessemer union struggle was not covered well
at all by the corporate media. So I was just interested to see, you know, what you had thought about that. Maybe, you know, do you feel like the political climate is changing? Do you feel like because COVID is letting up and Biden's president now, people are kind of just like, you know, cooling down a little bit?
Well, yeah, it's a combination of things, and it's a lot going on in the media. It's always seemed like there's something new every day to cover. But as far as the labor side of things, I know we lost a lot of the mainstream media focus, you know, throughout the course of the year. But I'm confident once we get to an election vote in New York opposed to Alabama, and there's no shame on Alabama. It's just that nobody really expected them to even get to that point. But I'm happy they did, because now if New York does, I think it will be back in the mainstream media, and it will reach the highest plateau. The president himself will have to address these issues once we get to that point, because we're going to hold everybody accountable. It's not just Amazon. It's the lawmakers. It's Congress. It's people mm-hmm. in Washington. So when we get to these, what I like to say, you know, when we cross that bridge, we got to make sure that the right person is held accountable. And we're already starting to build those relationships behind the scenes. So we have Bernie's camp, pretty much More Perfect Union. They're covering the campaign. I know I've been in contact with Bernie's chief of staff. She helped, you know, help me communicate with him behind the scenes. And I know these politicians are definitely watching us. And, you know, a lot of people may not think that we're going to get there, but I'm confident that we will. And when we do, we'll get the coverage that we need.
Good. Good. I hope so. And I'm going to do everything I can to help you with my tiny, tiny, tiny base of people that watch me. Thank you again for all your efforts. And I feel like I watched your sort of like my story on your podcast, It's a Small's World, which is like a very clever name. So awesome. High five for that. The most striking thing about your story to me sounded like, you know, before COVID hit, before there was, you know, you had any, you know, I guess call to sort of start protesting, you were happy to work for Amazon. It sounded like you had like, you were a supervisor and you were organizing sort of off hours, like you were organizing people sort of as a community. And that's amazing to me that, you know, that somebody like you could have been so underestimated and disused by, you know, a corporation that says that wants those things, right? That says that they're proud of their corporate culture and they're proud of their community and all that BS. And you are the literal embodiment of it. And the second that you spoke up for your community, they turned on you.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you know, when I first got hired in 2015, I had high expectations for the company. Like anybody else that's just starting, you think that, you know, the way they present it to you is that you have a lot of opportunities to move up. And then I was stuck in the same position for 4 years, and I didn't realize, you know, this is all I was going to get. Mm-hmm. And the virus hit, and I kind of was fed up with the company beforehand, because I knew, you know, that I wasn't going to be a manager there or a salaried employee ever. I was already blackballed just off the fact that I did speak up on behalf of the workers, entry-level workers, all the time. Management was not going to put me on that same level because they knew that I had that type of influence on people. So it was unfortunate. But at the same time, yeah, when the virus hit the building, I didn't hesitate to do what I thought is right and still continue to think is right to protect, you know, people and make sure that you know, even on or off the clock, that nobody brings home a deadly virus. So that's what I try to do. Unfortunately, yeah. People have died in that building and people still contracted this virus, still happening. You know, so that's why we have to try to unionize and get some of this power back in the workers' hands.
Absolutely. excuse me. So going back to the union then, are you guys trying to form a union that's independent to Amazon, or are you trying to join I forget the name of it right now, but there was a sort of like national like retail and service workers union that was at the Bessemer. And I think that they were the ones putting out the cards for people to sign to create a chapter of their union. Is that correct?
So no, the RWDSU, that union, it's already been established. It's been around since the 1940s. So they're not internationally known. They're like a little brother to a larger union. I think the UFCW.
Okay.
Which is normally the type of unions that unionize like the supermarkets and department stores like Macy's, for example. So yes, this is an independent worker-led union. There's no establishment, there's no affiliation. Because I'm helping. We're trying to form a union that's, I guess you could say solely to Amazon right now, mm-hmm. not in that it can't cross over to help out a Walmart. You know, we can change the name for that chapter, but for the time being, I think our focus is mainly Amazon buildings, fulfillment centers, sort centers, delivery stations, and right now, even in Staten Island, we have the possibility to unionize four of these different types of buildings at the same time. Since they're all the same complex. Since I was fired, they did some construction and they build up a couple of buildings and they already got employees inside there and they all signed in the card. So
great.
We have a great advantage here.
That's great. So tell me a little bit more about, I unfortunately wasn't able to make it up there with you, but tell me a little bit about the tent and you know how that's been going. You guys have weekly barbecues where you encourage workers to come and talk to each other and sign the cards. And I want to hear about how that's been reaching people. And I also like to hear about what the pushback has been from the building managers or whoever.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been having weekly barbecues to pretty much feed hundreds of workers that come through taking the public trans. Amazon's taken away the food vendors in the building since last year, since the coronavirus. So, most people have to either spend a lot of money on the Amazon marketplace that they have in the building or, you know, which is basically frozen food, microwavable food, or they'll have to bring their own lunch. So we're just trying to show, you know, some type of trust or earn trust with the workers. And get cards signed at the same time, like you mentioned. Those days are usually our biggest days to have cards signed. And we just like to, once again, earn the trust of the workers, letting them know that this is the type of thing unions can do. They can provide things that the company won't. And this is one way of showing our reach with the employees.
So you said, excuse me, you said that they shut down all food on the Amazon campus, except for what the Whole Foods stuff that they sell generally?
Well, the marketplace. They have in the cafeterias, they have a place called the marketplace, which is, you know, where they sell snacks and, you know, candy and whatever you can think at like a little convenience store. But most of the food is, you know, it's microwavable or frozen food that they have to, you know, warm up in the microwave or not, but it's not a large selection and it's overpriced. I remember it always being overpriced to me. So it's like, you know, you're putting the money right back into the company, so to speak, you know, even though it's a third party that's bringing in the vendor. But at the same time, you know, we don't make that much money, and we got to pay for public trans, and we got to pay for our lunch every day. You know, you're giving that money right back out. So we're just trying to alleviate that in some capacity, you know, feeding them for free, providing, you know, every day we have donuts, coffee, you know, whatever we have, water, we give it to the workers.
That's excellent. Thank you for that. Yeah. And where can people support you? Where can people help you fund this effort?
Yeah, since we're self-funded, there's a GoFundMe on the ALU website, AmazonLaborUnion.org.
Okay.
At Amazon Labor Union on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. The links are on the pages, and encourage people to donate.
Great. Absolutely. Please donate. I think that's amazing that you're feeding the workers. What has been the pushback from, you know, the building managers? I saw the one tweet that connected me to, I think one of your lawyers, is that I saw a beware of dog sign on the fence that they built specifically for your protests. Is that correct?
Yeah. You know, our first barbecue, we came back the next day and they built a fence pretty much early hours. Just to block us from where we used to set up originally. So it forced us to move to the opposite side. As we did that, that's when they called the cops on us that day. And we had a little, you know, agreement that we just moved closer to the bus stop. The cops didn't care. They unionized anyway. They wasn't getting involved. They knew what Amazon was doing. And then Amazon had a beware of dog sign, which confused everybody because the only one who had a dog was me. And it's a puppy, you know. Aww. 13 weeks, you know, it doesn't bite. So it just didn't make any sense. But then they came and changed that sign in the middle of the night. And, you know, they've just been moving like, you know, snakes in the grass to everything they do in the middle of the night. We come back. Now they build the fence even longer.
Oh, my God.
Then they called the fire department and said that they didn't call it on us. But we have the actual complaint that showed that it came from the Amazon building. You know, we've been recorded out there by the, you know, management, been driving by, recording us. The security guards been recording us, unmarked, you know, vehicles, SUVs been recording us. We catch these things. And so whatever we can catch illegally, we file, you know, ULPs for with our lawyer. And the latest has been, you know, the one with the chief union buster, Brad Moss, who's been on record talking to workers saying that, you know, we're a bunch of thugs that's organizing, and we're nothing but a bunch of, you know, Black Lives Matter protesters.
And that's why the supervisor in the first place, right?
Right. And well, he's actually not even working for he doesn't work for Amazon. He's hired. And sure, he was actually down there. In Bessemer, he's the same guy that was down there in Bessemer dividing the building, the same firm, TBG firm, that they got in, that they had in Alabama are now in Staten Island. So
wow.
Had several encounters with them already with several different employees, and the employees are telling us what's going on. So that's always a good sign when we get the reports firsthand that's showing that, you know, workers don't believe Amazon's BS, and they're coming to the union for that support, and we're helping them.
Yeah. Have you guys been getting, or had the workers there been getting, like, anti-union text messages and like that level of it's all basically the same
text messages, signs in the bathroom. Now they got the union buses in there walking around all day long talking to workers.
Wow.
Giving them, you know, a lot of false information.
Mm-hmm.
We're dealing with all of that, but once again, New York being a union town and a different energy up here, it won't be that easy for them to bust it up. You know, a lot of these workers are related to union guys, our union family members, and the bus drivers, you know, the sanitation workers, the construction workers, everybody around Amazon is unionized except for the Amazon workers. So they realize that, and as we educate them and you know, we talk to those who don't know much about unions. It's easy to have that conversation when there's a bus driver that's right there helping us from the MTA and telling workers as well that they need to sign.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Very cool. If we could take a second and talk about the federal jobs guarantee, I would appreciate it because I don't know if you can still make it, but we would still love to have you as a guest questioner for our panel.
What day is it?
It's on June 5th at 8:30 p.m. and it's on Zoom, so no need to put pants on.
I could try to make that. I should be able to make it. I don't know what day of the week it is, though. What's June 5th?
I think Saturday.
Saturday. Okay. I'll try to make that for sure.
Great. That would be wonderful. And thank you so much for that. Because so we're trying to clip it out, and then we will promote that clip separately from the main event as well. So, you know, there'll be hopefully maximum exposure for your podcast and our organizations. What do you think about a federal jobs guarantee or federal job guarantee? I was corrected. Excuse me. What do you think about a federal job guarantee? What do you think? Do you think that it would have, change your life at any point if there were one? Do you think that, this fight with Amazon would be completely different?
Now, what are you asking me? What if there was a federal job guarantee?
Yeah. Do you need me to go over it a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, this is my first time hearing.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. So Ayanna Pressley has a bill. This is an idea that's been out there for a long time. If you think back to the 1930s depression, the New Deal, right, was the answer to that. And that was essentially the government employing the people who couldn't find a job in the private sector. So we're arguing for that again. We're arguing for that not as just a temporary measure, but as a permanent measure. The federal government would supply the money, send it to local governments, where local governments would determine essentially how to spend it. They are still working on the details of the bill, but essentially the jobs that we're talking about here are building infrastructure, caretaking jobs, paying people to caretake in the home, paying people to do any kind of work that isn't already being covered by the private sector. So it's not necessarily to compete with smaller, or even larger contractors that are already doing some work for the state. It's to essentially buy up all of the excess labor that is without a job in our economy and raise the price of labor. So from an economy standpoint, we would be seeing, that if the government had, let's say it was a $25 minimum hour, $25 minimum wage, which is a figure that I would be fighting for because 15 is not enough, never was. So let's say you are guaranteed the government will give you a job guaranteed, no matter what your history is, no matter what your criminal history is, no matter, if this is you're fresh out of high school, whatever, they'll take you, they'll give you a job, and you're guaranteed at least, in my dream, $25 an hour, plus medical benefits, plus, benefits in general. So this is essentially the idea that if that kind of program was in place, then other companies would have to sort of raise their offers to their employees to get employees at all. And in some ways, we're kind of seeing this work with jobs like you know, DoorDash and Uber are almost like attracting the people that were used to be you know, stuck in terrible retail jobs that were paying $7.25 an hour, that now they can make up to $20 an hour depending on your area, doing DoorDash instead. And you're seeing a lot of places ask people to come, you know, to come back to work. And even, you know, also, unemployment, in some states, unemployment benefits are better than what they would be making at work as well. Right. We've seen that on the news. We're seeing a lot of 7-Elevens and very, you know, minimum wage jobs, like sort of begging workers to come back and work for them, because the offer has been raised in other places. So we're hoping to create that on a permanent level with a federal job guarantee.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, that sounds good. I mean, guaranteeing jobs is always, That's just an issue in the labor movement by itself, job security. And another reason why I guess you could say unions are so important for that reason, especially with Amazon. I could tell you that's the number one thing that we open up our conversations with is, you know, job security. So mm-hmm. The government can definitely do a lot more than what's been done. And passing bills like that, and passing bills like the PRO Act, I don't see no harm in it. So, you know, guaranteeing jobs and guaranteeing some type of health benefits, that's always a plus for the working class. So, I have to definitely do some more homework on that. I've been out of the dark
Freeze. Well, that's part of the reason we're having this panel, is to try to educate people, because I hadn't heard about it either until, I'm a part of United Left and our co-hosts are Real Progressives, and they're very big on economics and modern monetary theory. And basically they've been educating me. I do a lot of homework for this. That's part of what we want to do, is try to get the word out there that this is a possibility. You know, because people are hurting right now in a big way, and none of the stimulus packages helped us, right? I mean, like, they didn't even keep people afloat, like, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Right, like, we're all still suffering from that,
right?
Yeah. Is there anything else that you wanted to bring up, or
no, I think that's it for now. I mean, you know, it's just the beginning. You know, we only a little bit over a month into our campaign, so there's a lot more to come. We're going to have, hopefully, an exciting summer. And once again, hopefully, we'll be seeking to get to that election vote as soon as possible so that we can garnish the media attention that we rightfully deserve. So that's what our focus is right now, is to continue organizing the workers on the ground and get into that vote by any means necessary.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for, you know, being the awesome person that you are and kicking so much ass since the beginning of COVID. I mean, really, you're an amazing person, and this is a huge battle. So I personally want to do anything I can to help you guys. So again, thank you so much for being on the show, and hopefully I'll see you on June 5th for our job guarantee panel.